Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
Hello.
Here we are.
Welcome back. I am excited to talk about the core missionary task.
Yeah, that's right. The CMT, baby.
Let's go.
That's what we do.
We gave an intro, Jesse did, of the missionary task.
You did.
The royal we. And talked about the biblical pattern that we find all over the book of Acts in Paul's missionary journeys, but looking specifically at Acts 13 and 14.
That's right. The snapshot that we saw at the end of Act chapter 14 there of the six parts of the core missionary task. Entry, evangelism, discipleship, church formation, leadership development, and exit.
Exit.
Slash entrust.
Yes.
To partnership.
Slash launch.
Yeah. Any of those things. You know, just to that point, when we were having these discussions, and over the years as we've had these discussions, people have pushed back on the notion of exit. And I think it's good to acknowledge, we'll talk about this more when we get to that one specifically to dig into, but just good to acknowledge that maybe there's stages of exit. There's like local exit from a particular place or a particular church that is good, but then over time, maybe exit even from a target or a region, like Paul talks about in Romans 15, from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, fulfilled my ministry, there's no longer any room left for me to work. Those types of things. But exit can seem a little more final than we want it to sound like.
I think it can sound like heartless, like you're just leaving people behind.
Yeah. So it's good to acknowledge that there was ongoing contact, ongoing relationship, even after exit, through visits, through letters, those types of things. And just that love that the Lord had knit their hearts together was still there. So that's why I actually prefer the word entrust, which is, I think, is encapsulated. It comes up.
Biblical word.
That's right. That's what we do. We like the biblical words. But there's a benefit to using the word exit because it does demonstrate, I think, that finality. But today, we're not talking about exit.
That's right. We'll get to exit in about five episodes from now. Mm-hmm. But today, we're talking about entry.
That's right. That's how it starts.
There's actually some different definitions of entry, right? Some people, when they think of entry, they think of like, what kind of visa do I need to get into a certain country? Mm-hmm. And this episode and how we normally talk about entry is to think about the method of getting access to your target people.
That's right.
In order to share the gospel.
That's right.
The whole point of entry is to share the gospel.
Yeah.
If you're doing entry and you're not getting the gospel, then it's not the right kind of entry, right?
Yeah, that's good.
It's funny because when you talk about entry, you almost always have to end up talking about evangelism a little bit because they go together. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't talk about Good Friday without talking about Easter Sunday. Mm. That's kind of how entry is.
That was such a good
illustration. You can't talk about entry without talking about evangelism because the whole point of entry is evangelism. So I think there is a question there that even sometimes we ask, like, well, why do we even need entry to be a component of the missionary task? Why not just start with evangelism? Yeah. Because Paul went into new places and he just preached the gospel, right? That's what we see in the book of Acts. So why do we need entry to be its own specific part?
Great question. A question we have discussed many times over the years about why not just starting with evangelism. But I do think it's important. I think it speaks to the fact that we spoke about last time of our work being a sent out and a foundation laying work. Is that you're starting among new peoples and places, that you're taking the gospel where it isn't. That's why entry, I think, is distinct as we think about the core missionary task. That's part of what distinguishes what we do from what you would do, like disciple making in a more reached context, or disciple making that would be based out of a local church, right? When we're talking about entry, we're saying, hey, we're breaking new ground.
Right.
We're taking the gospel where it isn't.
You're going somewhere new.
That's right.
You're entering a new place or a new people.
Mm-hmm. So just like we looked at last time from Acts 13, when they're sent out of the church in Antioch, they go to Cyprus, and then they go to Pisidian Antioch, and then they go to Iconium. So there's entry into all these different new places. So entry as itself, and in itself, I think just speaks to our identity as sent out ones and speaks to the distinctness of the sent out work, being particularly taking the gospel to new peoples and places and laying the foundation there. So that's why I think it's important to delineate entry as its own separate component. Mm-hmm. I think also it's good for us biblically to think about what are the ways that people did, what did they do when they got there? right? What were the first things that they did? And to recognize, here's why it's also important, I think, in our present climate and missions, is because of the very issues that you brought up about, you know, presence, visa access, sometimes even how we present ourselves as outsiders. Those are these, have become very complex and in-depth issues that I think actually we need to have biblical clarity toward the more simple, just, hey, the pattern in the Bible was people just entered places and started proclaiming the gospel. And so some of the value of having entry as its own component is that it actually clarifies and simplifies the biblical approach. And I think guards us against going too far down those roads of complex answers to it that might actually muddle the discussion or might actually like muffle our voice when it comes to sharing the gospel, because we believe that there's all these things we have to do in order to be able to share the gospel. Now, we don't want to lessen the importance of those discussions. Those are very, very vital. We have to figure those things out. I mean, we have to have a visa presence to be here. We had to learn language when we were here. Those are incredibly important things. But one of the main things we always want to keep in mind as well, because local ownership is a value for ours, we want to be able to see and answer this question from the perspective of local believers who don't need visas, who don't need to learn language, who don't need to go through all those different complicated steps that we as outsiders need to. We want from the beginning to be able to speak the same language with them of, okay, according to the Bible, what does it mean to take the gospel to new people in a new place? Well, especially for near culture or even same culture sent out ones, it may just be, hey, you go to that place, you start talking to some people and you share the gospel with them. So that's the driving ethos behind talking about entry as its own component, I think, is to help bring biblical clarity to that question.
Yes. And I think you're right. Maybe separating some of those other issues out, it is important. People have to think about their visa, their type of visa, or their language learning, right? Those are things that Westerners have to think through and do and put time into. But for the core missionary task, in every component, the goal is local ownership. And again, because the point of entry is to get the gospel out to as many people as possible, that entry strategy is not focused on foreigners. It's focused on local believers, mm-hmm. right? We're in a city of 25 million people. So we don't want to focus a lot of time on a complex entry strategy. We just want something the simpler, the better, the more reproducible, the better. And of course, always the most biblical. Like if we can find a biblical pattern, then let's try to do that, right? And so we want as many local believers as possible to be able to share the gospel. So it needs to be what's best for them, not our own interest. And I also think it's important and helpful to talk about, because in real life, if we do a training here, you just did one last night with some youth in a church, young people, teaching someone to share the gospel. We do that a lot. But most people need to know the step before you actually start sharing the gospel. They need to know, how do I get there? And so even acknowledging the biblical pattern for entry was, I am sent out from where I normally live to enter a new place. But also even for believers, as we train someone to share the gospel, sometimes they've never thought through, how do I get to a gospel conversation? Or who am I sharing with? If I'm not moving or going on a missionary journey, who are the people that I'm going to share with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And how am I going to even get from hi to let me tell you about the true and living God, mm-hmm. and that you are a sinner and that you need to repent and believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
Is it good and right to also include all of that in entry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think definitely. What we have found over the years is we have taught about entry. A lot of it's clearing the air, because when you're talking to Christians, people oftentimes have so many mental barriers that are built up mm-hmm. against A, just even personal evangelism, mm-hmm. but then B, actually going maybe to a new place or even people that you don't know
right.
and starting talking with them about the gospel. There's all these just mental barriers. So a lot of the benefit of talking about entry is just being able to clear those mental barriers out by pointing to, again, the simplicity of the scriptures and how people just went in and began talking about Jesus. So what we're looking for is, where in the scriptures do we see intentionality towards entry, or even things that we could say, okay, this is maybe a pattern mm-hmm. we could follow. This is an example that would teach us something about how we also can do that. Mm-hmm. Because if the scripture is our authority, and if there is a pattern of work, like we talked about last time, then I think we can look for in the scripture, okay, we could follow this pattern as well
right.
for ways that we could start conversations, ways that we could engage with new people.
Yeah.
I think the core foundation, though, again, is that it's based on the empowerment and the leading of the Spirit. That's one of the things that we could look at in the scriptures, is that initial general empowering that happened with the outpouring of the Spirit in Acts 2, that was the fulfillment of that promise in Acts 1:8, that Holy Spirit will come upon you, you will be my witnesses. And so our fundamental identity, wherever we go, is as his witnesses. And we're carrying that empowerment by the Holy Spirit to do that. We've all been commissioned. We've all been empowered to do it. Some of us have been called and set apart to go break new ground with it as well. And so the Holy Spirit is superintending that process as we go out. And I think that's really important for us to understand and to begin with, because otherwise it becomes kind of this game of, well, I have to like think through this situation, or I have to come up with a strategy, or I have to use these certain things. And I think that's sometimes when we get caught up in a lot of extraneous added extra steps that maybe sometimes don't need to be there. But if we believe the Holy Spirit sent us out, then we believe that he's gone ahead of us as well, and that he's working there and preparing people's hearts, and that we're stepping into activity that he has already initiated. Now, one of the benefits, I think, of looking to the scriptures, particularly the book of Acts, and seeing the different ways that entry happened, it helps us not to get into just this one sort of like one size fits all entry type thinking. Because you see sometimes when the Holy Spirit was actually very explicit to send people to certain places, Peter to Cornelius, right? Or the Macedonian call to Paul. He's hearing in a dream, you know, come over and help us. There's times when the Spirit leads very clearly. There's also a lot of times when there's not a clear leading of the Spirit, and it seems like people are just going to new places, and because they've already been commissioned and empowered, they're just sharing wherever they go. So just to recognize that that should be our default. You know, seeing both of those realities in the scriptures should tell us you don't have to wait on this very
special feeling,
like a dream from the Lord to say, hey, you have to go to this place.
Right. Or this person.
Or this person, right. That we can just trust that because he's already commissioned us and already empowered us, and because his desire is to see the nations worship him, that he has gone ahead of us and that he's preparing people. So that's a fundamental like heart attitude, heart posture that we carry into this conversation about entry, is that the Lord is doing that work and we're following along with what he's doing. Then we start looking at the scriptures and we see, okay, what did people do when they went into new places? Now, most often, we looked last time at 13 and 14 of chapters of Acts, first missionary journey. Most often what Paul did was he started in the synagogues. He would go to the synagogues where people who were familiar with the old covenant, people who were familiar and even some who were looking for the expected Messiah. But also there was a God's sovereign purpose at work that the Jews would have a chance to hear because they were his promised people. And I think sometimes by their denial was a fulfillment also of prophecies about judgment that would come upon the nation of Israel for rejecting his purposes again. So there was a divinely ordained kind of responsibility that Paul carried. So this was both, I think, part of just Paul's natural inclination to go to his people, to go to people who had a familiarity with the story of God and his redemptive story, but also part of overall God's redemptive plan and going to and providing an opportunity for Jews to hear as the people of the original promise, right? And then according to their reactions, many of them believed in the places that he went to, but many of them became the strongest opposition as well. And so just to see that that was his kind of normal way of entering into a lot of the cities where he began. In some places, though, we see that, like in Acts 16, when he was going into Philippi, he went to a place where he thought there was a place of prayer. That's where he met Lydia. There doesn't seem to be any mention that the Spirit was leading him to go to that place where there was a place of prayer. It doesn't seem to be an explicit mention that he was to go. The Spirit was saying, hey, go to the synagogue. But it seemed to just be part of what he did and how he went. He was just engaging with people who were in those conversations already. Same way in Athens. He went into the marketplace where the philosophers were talking about metaphysical things, right? Philosophical things, discussing God, that sort of thing. And he came in and inserted his voice in the gospel into that conversation.
Yeah, I think it's a good simple thing to point out, that Paul's goal was to share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So he was looking for the places and conversations where he could do that, mm-hmm. right? And I think even as we are thinking about getting the gospel to people, that we should think about, where can I go and talk to people about spiritual things and purposefully get into spiritual conversations so that I can share the gospel?
That's right. Because the whole point, like you said at the beginning, the whole point of entry is giving people meaningful access to the gospel, giving us, allowing us or others the opportunity to speak the truth of Jesus Christ to them, because the gospel is the power of God for salvation. So as we look, we see kind of different approaches, different ways. Even if we go back to the ministry of Jesus, how he commissioned and sent out his followers in Luke 10, sent them out two by two to go to places that Jesus himself was wanting to go, but they were going to go break new ground, start new conversations. So they were just looking for people, looking for households that God had already prepared to receive what they were going to say. We've talked a lot about over the years that concept of the Son of Peace or the House of Peace, places that accept the gospel, or at least at the beginning, accept the messenger and provide a place for that gospel message to be proclaimed in that particular town. Then we look into the, as the gospel's growing out after the resurrection, after the coming of the Spirit, right? The direction in a dream to Peter to go to Cornelius. When he goes there, Cornelius says, calls together his household to hear what Peter has to say. So thinking through, as we go through a similar principle to what we see in Luke 10, it's targeted at a household, talking about a group of people that are connected together. And when you're entering into a new place, to find people who have those connections. I think maybe as a good principle to think about, how do we reach households as opposed to people who are just kind of isolated or on their own or individuals.
Right. And we see that with Lydia, that she and her whole household were saved. Mm-hmm. She invited Paul to her house. Mm-hmm. We see it with the Philippian jailer, mm-hmm. that they went to his house. His whole household was saved and baptized. Mm-hmm. That is another biblical pattern of being able to have whole families mm-hmm. hear the gospel at once.
Yeah.
I want to point out the two by two, going out two by two. That is a great entry strategy. And Paul doesn't seem to ever go anywhere by himself. He always has either someone listed or two or three guys with him. And so I think that as well is a great principle. As we're looking at the word and looking for biblical patterns, right? We see that they entered new places. Like you pointed out, sometimes they went to the synagogue. Sometimes they went to the place of prayer. Sometimes they went to where the philosophers were. Sometimes they went to Jews, sometimes to Gentiles. But they were going for the purpose of gospel proclamation. And we also see from Jesus sending out people two by two, praying, looking for those households of peace, persons of peace that will welcome us and let us share, and where we can be a blessing and pray for people and share the gospel. And the idea of oikos, mm-hmm. of let's gather whole households, let's share, and even challenging and empowering believers to be sharing with their own oikos, mm-hmm. right? As we train believers in evangelism, being able to point that out, and that's a great first entry for any believer mm-hmm. into sharing the gospel, is to go to your oikos and pray for them and look for ways to share for them. But I think maybe we could talk about just some other principles for thinking through entry.
Mm.
Our desire is for entry to be something that will work well for local believers and for as many people as possible. Like, it doesn't need to be expensive
right.
or complicated or take lots of planning.
Just simple, straightforward.
If you can just go out two by two, praying and talking to people
yeah.
and getting into gospel conversations, then you really don't have to look any farther
mm-hmm.
for a fancy entry strategy
yeah.
because that's accomplishing the goal.
That's right.
Right? It's getting yeah. to gospel.
And I think also the recognition that sometimes inviting people in, like to your home, that hospitality can be a way of entry as well. And mm-hmm. the whole point, I think, is just keeping it very simple, honoring, I would say, the biblical pattern of that simplicity, that there wasn't this long gap between initially meeting somebody or initially going to a place and proclaiming the gospel. That what we see there is, this is part of why you know, sometimes we talk about why do we even have entry as a separate thing is because they were so tightly linked together. There wasn't this long bridge that you had to traverse when you first entered an area to finally get to the gospel. Now, we also want to recognize that there are parts of the world and there are contexts when that is where that is more true. They are more restrictive. And it does, just to have access, just to have an opportunity to share the gospel, there can be some real, like actually even threatening kind of obstacles that are in the way.
Right.
And so we recognize that.
Yeah. Or even practical obstacles. I mean, a very common and true illustration would be if you are targeting Muslim people, mm-hmm. you're not going to run into a lot of Muslim women out on the street. Mm. In many contexts, Muslim women stay in the home. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's a great example of, yeah, it might be great to get into any kind of henna class or English as a second language, anything to get access to Muslim women. The context makes you think a bit more about, okay, maybe I do need to develop something. Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the reasons, like we pointed out earlier, that we're required to talk about entry is because Christians have put up a lot of internal barriers just to that simple sharing of the gospel. I don't know how many different types of those we've heard over the years, right? That you have to build a relationship, or I've heard before, like you have to earn the right in order to speak the gospel into somebody. That is nowhere in the scriptures, right? And this is the value of looking at the pattern again in the Bible, is that when they shared, there wasn't time to like build an in-depth relationship. There's no talk of like, I had to earn the right in order to share the gospel. Jesus has given us the right, the commission. The Holy Spirit has sent us out to do that. And so the underlying principle is the simpler and the more unadorned approach from entering a place and getting to meaningful engagement with the gospel, the better. Like that should be our aim as we're thinking through entry, to not overthink it, to not let the good idea fairy come in and say, oh, we could do this and we could do this and we could do this. Not to say that those things couldn't be valuable in their own right, but the underlying question is always, is this leading to meaningful gospel engagement with these people?
And I think getting as many people as possible sharing the
involved
gospel.
Involved in it as well,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think this means if someone has this special interest or idea for getting the gospel out that they shouldn't do it,
mm-hmm.
right? Like if you are an artist and you want to invite lost people over to do art, I think that's awesome. And you should, right? Or if you like to do, like have a sports camp where you can share with kids, that's really, really great. God has given us gifts and desires and passions. And of course, use them for the gospel, right? Any way we can. But that isn't the main strategy, because the average believer probably isn't going to have art nights a lot or soccer camps. And so again, the focus is the normal local believers, wherever we live, that we are training and equipping to get all of them out, as many as we can, to share the gospel in a simple way that is reproducible for them.
That's right. And that they're doing personally and owning personally. Mm-hmm. Like you said, that it's not dependent on a program or setting up a special thing. But I think particularly as we encourage people, like we did last night at that training, the very basic thing of write down a list of 10 people who are lost that you know. Maybe your friends, maybe people at your school, people at your college, coworkers. Just write down a list of 10. And I think what we have seen, especially as we've moved to a larger city, is that among better educated people, there tends to be that pushback of, oh, well, you can't just go from the beginning. You know, you have to kind of build trust and you have to build relationship. And there's wisdom and there's some truth to that. But I always do just kind of wonder, is the answer just that we need to be actually boldly proclaiming the gospel and let that sort of sort out who does respond to it? That we do it with love, and that you can be winsome, and that you can build a relationship actually fairly quickly.
Absolutely.
And that it doesn't have to take a long time.
We have local partners who are doing that well,
mm-hmm.
who Very can within it. 5 minutes have someone tearing up because they feel loved. Again, if we believe God actually wants us to do it and it's God ordained, that sometimes there are people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can tend to think if I'm out, I don't really want someone to come, like some stranger to come expect me to talk for 20 minutes, mm-hmm. right? But some people do, mm-hmm. you know, and some people are sad and some people are ready for someone to show them care and love. And so to even like be friendly and smile and start a conversation and be able to even say like, we're here praying for our community. Mm-hmm. We believe God answers our prayers. Is there any way we could pray for you? Some people are truly ready.
Yeah.
Where some people will say, wow, I have this going on.
Yeah.
They can feel loved mm-hmm. in that moment.
Yep. And some people will look at you like you have a third eye.
Right. And some people won't want to.
That's
or
right.
Some people will chat and be all friendly until right when you mention God and they get the feeling you have an agenda. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they have a really important call,
right.
you know,
or something going on.
And that's okay. Right. But I want to encourage if there are missionary leaders out there leading a team that you don't have an entry strategy. So for every component of the missionary task, mm-hmm. I think it's important to have a tool.
Yeah.
Again, because it's not about us. You might feel like I'm totally fine just winging it. I can get out and share the gospel a lot. That is very possibly true for many, many people. But there's a lot of believers that don't have the confidence mm-hmm. to do that or the practice, you know,
right.
the experience. And so just as you often say, Jesse, like tools are the most important when we start having our disciples come into the picture, right? And so I want to encourage all of our listeners for every one of these parts of the CMT to think about what is your tool, because it's important that people that you are training, that every believer be able to do all of this. I can't say it enough. The goal is for as many believers as possible to be equipped in these things.
That's right. Yeah, just breaking down those walls of hesitancy that have built up over the years, or fear or whatever it is, and truly allowing believers to walk in the freedom and the gifting that the Spirit has given. And I think to reiterate, you know, the power of tools is it helps free us from a particular personality. We all know people that are very outgoing. We all know people that are very good at sharing the gospel. We've come across people like that before, but it can't be dependent on just that one type of personality. So the value of tools and even thinking through entry and even being able to look at the scripture and hopefully seeing some of the different ways that the people of God did that, engaged in conversations or sought people out, even though it did lead to direct gospel, there's different ways that the Lord used people. And hopefully that is part of the encouragement and the freedom that people can experience to say, you know what, the Lord can use me in my own circle, among my own people. I can be the conduit of meaningful gospel engagement for the people that I know and love and care about, and to just start from there. And if we had people who felt freed and empowered to do that in their own circles, man, what amazing things we would see.
Maybe part of the entry strategy is having in your head, I want to get into a spiritual conversation mm-hmm. today where I can share about Jesus. That's my goal. And so I'm looking for that in my conversations. And to have a tool, it does not mean you're any less spirit-led. It doesn't mean you are just doing something rote from memory that isn't from the heart. It doesn't mean it's unloving or like pushing your agenda. It's just so that people can feel equipped.
Yeah.
You can still be spirit-led and flow and change with the conversation, mm-hmm. even if you have a tool, right?
That's right.
The entry strategy that we use mm-hmm. is mainly training people to reach their oikos, mm-hmm. making that list when we do evangelism trainings. Who are the lost people in your life that you want to pray for, that you want to share the gospel with? Let's pray for them this week, and let's try this week to share with some of them. And then going out two by two, mm-hmm. getting into conversations to share the gospel, many times doing that through care, through prayer, where mm-hmm. we can simply be friendly and kind to people, start talking, and then tell them that we pray to God, we believe He answers our prayers, and we would love to pray a blessing for them if there's anything we could pray for them. And it is very, very simple.
That's right. We've also we've rolled out, as we work among urban young people here, young professionals, college students,
mm-hmm.
we've noticed that heart issues are just a growing thing.
Everybody's emotional health,
anxiety, depression,
shame,
isolation.
All those. Yeah.
And so we have increasingly begun to start conversations with people who are in that segment of the population here in the city, just start conversations in those realms. So like, hey, you know, this is something we see a lot of young people struggling with. How does this affect your life?
Right.
That opens up the opportunity for a conversation leading to a personal testimony, leading to the gospel, for them to hear the gospel and encounter that.
Yeah. And I think, again, it was because that we felt like that would work well for that target to get to a spiritual conversation with those people. The target required it. It wasn't just us thinking that'd be fun, you know?
Yeah.
Also recognizing not everyone wants prayer. It's kind of nice to have a couple options so that if people are like, nah, I'm good,
right,
then you have something else that you can offer.
The goal of entry is meaningful engagement with the gospel for the people that we're trying to reach. And I think it's just good for us to, again, remind ourselves of that basic foundational truth that we are trying to reach them with the gospel. That's the whole point of entry. Even last night, as we were doing the training, thinking through oikos, thinking through how do I engage with people that I don't know, Romans 10:1 as a guiding verse for us, where Paul says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer for them to God is that they would be saved. And just to think through that, that heart's desire, do we truly desire that? Are we committed to pray for people who are far from him, that they would be saved? That's the heart that drives entry, is that we're just trying to see them saved by the power of God. We're praying to God for towards that end, and that is our heart's desire for them. I think more and more as the Lord forms that kind of desire and that heart in us, that the difficulty of entry, and I think that will lessen and our comfort with it will grow because we're just following our heart's desire.
Just doing what we want
to engage with people. That's right. Because we want them to be saved.
Yep.
That's the heart that drives entry.
I hope you will listen to our next episode on evangelism. And I hope that it will inspire you. Evangelism can be a word that makes people feel bad about themselves because it's so easy to just feel like we're not sharing the gospel enough.
Yeah.
So
it's like
I want
about their prayer life.
It is. It's just always needs to be better. So I just want to encourage you to join in for our next episode also on evangelism because we want to encourage you and spur you on. Don't live in shame as you listen to these episodes, okay? When Jesus took our sin on the cross, he took our shame also. And I think Satan doesn't want any of our listeners to get excited about entry or evangelism. But we want to encourage you. And it's okay if you have had a season where you haven't been out sharing, or maybe you've never felt like you've been great at this. By the power of the Holy Spirit and by faith, you can make a change tomorrow. You can pray and share Jesus's love and take little steps, and God can use you. So
no doubt.
Don't give in to shame or discouragement on that.
That's right.
We will see you soon as we continue our series on the components of the missionary task.